This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I told you snow was coming, and we're going to get more. Just a reminder, if you haven't already picked up one of the scripture sheets for this month, there's still a few more left on that back table. We are continuing our study this month on having a grateful and a thanksgiving heart, because this is the month for Thanksgiving, and that time of the year when we have that grateful and thanksgiving heart, but we should have this year round, okay? And so we need to remember that. We need to remember to always be thankful and grateful for what we have. How many of you were raised in the church? Okay, so you remember back in Sunday school when your teacher would teach you stories of Old Testament of stories. Maybe it was Adam and Eve, of Noah, or Daniel in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being in the fiery furnace. Well, I'm going to do something different this morning, and I'm going to read to you a Bible story. One time I paraphrased scriptures, and I had somebody come to me and say that they preferred that I did not paraphrase, but read the scriptures in total. So that's what I'm going to do this morning, and we're going to go through, if you want to turn in your Bibles, to Exodus 16 and 17. We're going to look at those. And so, anyway, we're going to look at the story. We've talked about it this morning in class. Alex talked about it this morning in the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to bring it all together into my lesson. I mentioned to Kathy on Monday that I was looking for a story in the Bible that dealt, you know, with this Thanksgiving and grateful heart, and she brought up this story. So if you don't like it, blame me. If you do like it, then give her the thanks for it. But our story today deals with the Israelites, and they're starting to mistrust God and how He has blessed them. You know, all they did was complain and fall away from God. They would come back and fall away and come back and fall away. But this is kind of the start of it all, as we will see. In Exodus 16, starting in verses 1 and 2, then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. I don't know about you, but that kind of brings terror just thinking of that it was the wilderness of Sin. Between Elim and Mount Sinai, they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month. They just missed Valentine's Day by one day. 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. So they left Egypt about middle of what we would call January. Okay. There, verse 2, there too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. We see here that the Israelites are not giving thanks to God or Moses or Aaron or with a grateful heart or with thanksgiving for saving them from slavery. Okay? They were slaves in Egypt, and they were crying up to God. And remember, when God went to Moses, He said, I've heard my children crying. They're in slavery. They want to be released. And that's when He brought in Moses to release them. Okay? But now they're complaining to Moses and Aaron. They're not thankful. Instead, if only the Lord, verse 3, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. They're not thankful for being released from slavery. They just wish that God had killed them while they were slaves. They moaned. There we sat with pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. We had everything we wanted, all the meat, all the bread, everything we wanted. Yeah, we had chains. You know, we were slaves, but we could eat and drink all we wanted, okay? They're kind of losing sight of it, aren't they? But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us to death. Does this sound like a grateful heart? that's giving thanks to God, we gotta make sure that we are not like the Israelites. Verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day." Okay, remember that. We're going to talk about that later. Now, God is doing all of this for a reason. I will test them. How many times do we think that things that go on in our life might be a test from God? How are you going to handle your belief and your faith and your trust in God? God is testing the Israelites. He's brought them into the wilderness. And if I don't know if you've ever been out into a desert area, there's not much there. I was excited when we went to El Paso and I was riding the train and I'd get off in these areas and I'd get out the train and walk around. And I was excited because I'd never been in the desert. And I found out real quick that everything out there is ready to bite you. Every bush is a thorn bush. It's a thorn bush. You know, and if it's not the plants, it's the animals. There's scorpions and rattlesnakes, and, you know, and everything else out there. Tarantulas, you know. And so I know there's not much to eat in the desert. And like was brought up this morning, probably over 1 million people, they guess. So God has brought them out into the wilderness where there's nothing to test them. What are they going to think of me? Remember, he brought them out of slavery. They came to the Red Sea. What are we going to do? Moses, God, part the Red Sea. They go through the Red Sea. The Red Sea's up on both of them, on both sides of them. They walk on dry land. That right there should be enough to think, you know what? This God is able to do anything when the first thing is walking on dry land when there's a sea on both sides of you, maybe fish swimming around. Okay, this God I can trust. He's going to do everything for me. But no, they're not that way. They're not thinking that way. So God is testing them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. I've always said, you know, when you took the Old Testament with all of its teachings and everything, and you boil it down to one statement, what does the Old Testament mean? It means God means what he says. As simple as it is, when God says it, he means it. Okay? And so this, God is testing them to see whether or not the children of Israel, his chosen people, are going to follow his instructions, as we're going to read about. Verse 5, on the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. And we'll get back to that again later. God is going to give them all the meat and bread, which is what they were craving about. They were raving about that in Egypt. We had all the meat and the bread that we could use. Well, he's going to give that to them. They won't have to do anything but go out of their tent, pick it up, and prepare it. That's it. That's all they have to do. They won't need to go and track down animals for meat or plant fields of wheat and grind it for bread. God is going to give them everything. But it is a test to see if the Israelites will follow God's simple instructions. To me, again, that is the key to the Old Testament, is that we follow his instructions. Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus has not given us any hard instructions, any hard commandments. Everything he has given us to do, to follow him, to go to heaven, is simple, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier than what it was in the Old Testament. when you read through Leviticus and see all the laws and everything that they had to follow, our instructions are easy. Going on in verse 6 and 7. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Okay? Remember, they know this, but they forget about this. Remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, what did the children of Israel do? They took all their gold, melted it down, and made a golden calf that they worshiped and said, what? This golden calf that they just made is what brought us out of Egypt. Not God. Okay? Not God. And this is hoping that they'll realize it and remember that God is who brought them out of Egypt. Verse 7, in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints. Not your praises, not your gratitude, not your thanksgiving for what he has done to you, for you, but your complaints, which are against him and not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Are the Israelites being thankful to God and Moses and Aaron for freeing them from bondage? Are the children of God, God's select chosen people, thankful for what God has done for them? Don't be like the Israelites. Verse 8, then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning. Remember, that's all they said. We want to go back to Egypt because we had all the bread and the meat that we could eat. So God's going to give them that. For he has heard all your complaints, not praises, but all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. And the us, as we're going to read, is Moses and Aaron. Okay? Why are you blaming me for it? God's the one who has done all this. Verses 9 and 10. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. How many times do we stop and during our busy day and look at what God has given us and thank God? How many times do we stop and thank the Lord for how he has treated us, what he has given us, that we have a hope of heaven? Or are we like the Israelites and just complain about what we don't have? We can't be like the Israelites. Verses 11 and 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I'm going to give you what you wanted, what you were complaining about not having, that the Egyptians were giving you, all the meat and all the bread. I'm going to give that to you. You're not going to have to do anything. Why? So that you will know that I am your Lord and God. Verses 13 through 15. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. We don't really know what that means. Coming from the south, and we have visitors today from Huntsville, Alabama, they probably know what this is like. You know, when you wake up and the ground is so wet, you think it's rained. Okay? That's what it's like almost every single morning. Most people in the South don't have sprinkler systems because God provides the rain during the night in the form of dew, all right? And so they woke up in the morning and the ground is wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as a fine or frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. And in the King James Version, they call it manna. And manna means, what is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. God has given them enough quail to cover the whole camp. The scriptures do not say, but I am sure that it was enough quail to fill their bellies. Now the new day has arrived and God has sent them manna from heaven. Notice the Israelites don't have to hunt for their food. They don't have to go out and search for food and hunt it. Okay? They don't have to plant fields to get wheat to make bread. God is giving them all the quail, all the manna they need to be satisfied. That is, God is taking care of everything they need. Are the Israelites satisfied? Are they grateful? Are they thankful? Verse 17 to the end of the chapter deals with Moses again, explaining in more detail what they're supposed to do with that manna. They were to gather about one quart for each person for the whole day. They are to gather more of their allotment. They can't get any more than that one quart per person per day. If they do, then worms are going to get in it and it's going to stink by morning. And of course, do the people listen? Do they pass the test of God telling them to not gather more than that one quart jar per person? No. There are those who go out there and greedily gather more and gather more. You know, we got to eat when we're going to be hungry. But no, that one quart jar per person satisfies them for that day. Okay? Then on the day before the Sabbath, what we would call Friday, they are to gather two quart jars per person per day for that Saturday. So that on the Sabbath, they did not have to go out and gather. Okay? Again, the Lord has provided for them. We can't be like the Israelites and fail the test that God gives us. The second part of the story is found in Exodus 17, verses 1. We'll start in verse 1. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. Do you think the Lord did this on purpose? Of course he did. I'm assuming that in the wilderness of Sin, they had water, but no food. And so now God has shown them, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to give you quail. I'm going to give you manna. Okay? So they move to a new place that has no water. Again, a test. Are they going to believe in God that he's going to take care of them? Let's find out. Verse 2. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Nope, they failed. Quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord? Are we satisfied with what the Lord has blessed us with? We don't need to worry about our food or clothing. The Lord will provide us with everything that we need. Again, don't be like the Israelites. Starting in verse 3. But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. They are failing badly, aren't they? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Going backwards again. Are you trying to kill us, our children, our livestock with thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me. We studied in our last two lessons that we shouldn't let misfortune today drive us backwards to hard times in our past. We need to thank God for what He has blessed us with yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Israelites are not satisfied with anything that God has done for them. They are still complaining about, why did you bring us out of Egypt? We had everything there. We had food and water. Food and meat. Well, wait a minute. God has given you meat and bread. Well, now you're not giving us water. We're going to die of thirst. But they're not seeing that God's going to take care of them. They do not see that the Lord is supplying them with everything that they need. All they see is the present. Don't be like the Israelites. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people, take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water on the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to you. I will stand before you on the rock of Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Again, God has tested the Israelites, and they have failed miserably. Not only did they not thank God for the blessings that He has given them, for they are constantly complaining when they don't have what they want or need. God has shown them time and time again that He will take care of them, no matter what it is. God is the Almighty God and will provide for their every need. We looked at several scriptures in the New Testament the past 2 weeks that deals with this idea. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. God will provide. He always has and always will provide your needs. Don't be like the Israelites. Verse 7, Moses named the place Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? God tested the Israelites and they failed. The Israelites tested Moses and God by doing nothing but complaining about everything. Don't be like the Israelites. Acknowledge what God has blessed you with every day. Give thanks to God for what He has done for you. Tell others about what you don't have, tell others about His blessings. Tell others about what He has done for you. Tell others about how He has helped you out. Don't complain about what you don't have. This is probably something that you don't absolutely need. God will take care of your needs, not your wants. Don't be like the Israelites. We need to continue to have that grateful heart, that thanksgiving for what God has blessed us with, for what God has given us. Okay? We don't need to be like the Israelites and not thank God, not trust God. We need to make sure that we pass the test that we might face from day to day. Don't think that we're not tested, because we are. And we need to make sure that we pass those tests and thank God for what He has given us. Don't be like the Israelites and complain. I don't have this and I don't have that. Thank God for what you do have. The air that you breathe, the food that you eat, whatever your drink, that you have a car, you have a house. Well, my car just broke down. Well, you had a car to break down. Okay. Well, my barn just burned down. Well, you had a barn to burn down, Thank God for what you have, not what you don't have. And don't be like the Israelites and complain about what happened yesterday. Be thankful for what you have today. If there's any way that we can help you in your walk with Christ, you need encouragement, let us know. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Let us be there for you as a family. Or maybe you haven't put Christ on in baptism, and that's something that you need to be taken care of today. The baptistry is ready. Please let your wishes be known as together we stand and sing.